Roll okay. call. Andy Chanley, okay. present.
Larry Morgan, right here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right.
Josh Fligger is right there. Yeah. And Sam Farmer's on assignment. Sam's launching a new show. Did you guys see that?
I did.
He's launching a Zoom interview show with cool people.
Yeah, there's tons of cool people.
Yeah, we should talk to cool people sometime.
I know. Yeah, well.
Good luck with that.
We should become cool people if we can.
Yeah. Sam Farmer was the coolest person we would ever talk to, and he's obviously become too big time for us.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what he did? He took our idea for a show.
Yep. Give a guy a yellow jacket, and he thinks he can do anything.
Yeah. That's his new nickname, Yellow Jacket. code name, Yellow Jacket. When the people that you know like you
and treasure friendships in
to this podcast, you're not making any friends. You're not a good person.
That is a throwback to last week's episode, kids.
Yeah, that's a little callback for you.
Yes, yep. It is.
Had to break out my guitar for that one.
Did you really, Josh, did you have to just go ahead and just pick at that scab again?
I didn't
that baby back up?
I didn't even tune the guitar because I was like, "What? It's pointless."
You tasteless. Shit bags.
Yeah. Hey, wait. I was not involved in this
what?
Shenanigans.
Not this week, maybe.
Not this week.
Yeah, last week.
I was just stating fact. I wasn't trying to needle you or anything, but
I think every week I'm going to do a Neil Young solo with a different instrument.
Oh, God.
Next week, it'll be like a butter knife.
Must you? Must you do it? The man's in the Hall of Fame three different times. I mean, come on.
He's not in the Guitar Solo Hall of Fame.
Yes, he is. You have no appreciation.
He is the master of the one-note solo. There's no doubt about that. He is the king of the one-note solo.
Have you ever seen the Bradley Cooper on... was it on Jimmy Fallon, I think?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was Jimmy Fallon.
I think it was Jimmy Fallon where he, which is rare because I never watched Jimmy Fallon that I know this, but I went and watched it. It was Bradley Cooper doing the complete air guitar to Down by the River, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Watch that. That will make you appreciate Neil Young just a little bit better, I think. Thank you, Bradley Cooper, for being such a
fan.
What's up, bastards?
I think this is a great reflection of the general overall testy tone that most of the world is feeling at this point.
I think this is absolutely
a reflection of it.
This is what it's gotten to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You guys starting to be a little snappier at your friends and family now?
Yeah, this is the highlight of my week. I get to sit on the phone and yell at you guys.
Yeah, it gets tougher. And I feel sorry for the kids. Like Silas is just, he's 9 years old and he's up my ass, both of us, constantly. Can we do this? Can we do this? Can we play this? Can we play this? Will you read this? Can we
watch this? Can we watch
that? And it just keeps going. And here's the thing. I totally understand because A, he's nine, and B, all this week, it was raining nonstop. You couldn't get outside at all to run any of it off. So I really feel for him. I know, where it all comes from, but that doesn't make it any easier. It's a pain in the dick sometimes.
At one point in time, like yesterday, I was like, I might just go stand in the closet and just stand there in the dark for a bit, just so nobody talks to me or touches me.
I'm telling you, I am doing everything I can to be as thankful as possible that I have a grown-up adult child who does not need constant, supervision, and B, stimulation, doing his own thing. I am extremely thankful that we had one kid and did it very young, and that is long over. And I sympathize with you guys. I, on the other hand, had kind of a different barrel of monkeys to deal with. Literally, it was like there's one disc jockey in our fold. We're trying to get everybody up to speed with this remote broadcasting, this remote voice tracking we're doing. And we kind of got around to the remaining part-timers. We got their systems up and running. And then training got started. And, you know, you reach a certain level of, I guess, you know, I felt like I've been pretty good as I've gotten older to adapt to new technologies, because I recognized I have to, or I'm going to be one of those old grumpy, well, why don't we just play it off the record, guys? Right. You know,
it'd and they Walmart still exist.
Creator. Yeah. Yeah. But this guy's younger than I am. And I swear to God, trying to teach him this process was like teaching a monkey how to drive. I mean, you know, you're going to get something close to driving eventually, but you just don't think he's got the subtle nuances of the process. Oh man, it was just, so that was like having a 9-year-old.
Is it like one of those things when all the lessons are done and everything, and you go, okay, and you walk away and you're like, well, that is going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
And going to try to distance myself from that as far as possible.
Well, because what happened then is, you know, post all that intensive training, I would get a text with a picture of, it's not letting me in, it locked me out. And I would look at it and go, okay, that's your laptop fell asleep. You need to put in your own password to get back into. No, it's okay. It's okay. You know, we got there and it's fine. But I had my version of the kid who needs some sort of constant attention.
By the way, yeah. I just saw yesterday that Justin Timberlake got a raft of shit for, he tweeted something or Instagram something about, you know, they have a 6-year-old son named Silas, which I've yet to, forgive him and Jessica Biel for, they stole my son's name and made it, you know, made it commonplace, somewhat when I thought it was original. It's a family name for us. Anyway, that still simmers, for me, a little bit under the skin, but,
well, next time I see them, I'll mention that.
Please do. But he posted something about, you know, somebody. Oh, so he's doing like a Sirius XM interview, and somebody you know, asked him how things were going. You know, he goes, well, you know, we're lucky to be up here in, you know, Montana, our nice place, our cabin. You know, it's a great place to be sheltering, and so we're thankful for that. But you know, 24/7 parenting is just not human. Said something to that effect. People came down on him like a raft of shit. Dumped on him saying, oh, really? Well, I have this situation. And I would look, certainly Justin Timberlake doesn't have it the worst in the world, but you know, pain is subjective. For one person, you know, it might be, you know, watching their entire clan, you know, slaughtered before them on the prairie. For another person, it might be, you know, falling out of a tree and breaking your arm when you're, you know, 8. It's, you can still have that observation and not be a total elitist asshole, can't you?
Well, that, and he's also, he seems like he's got a pretty good sense of humor. You know what I mean? He seems like a funny dude. So.
Right, I think it was a joke.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a joke to me.
Well, he's complaining like we are, in that right. there is an additional amount of patience and you know, grounding that you have to deal with that. And if it were any other situation besides the one we're in, you would probably know that they've certainly got help. But in this situation, I doubt there's a nanny there. I doubt that they have anybody in their home right now to help take care of that. So yeah, it all falls on generally two people or one person, and it can be trying.
And you know what? It's fucking Montana. That quarantine is just Tuesday to them.
Yeah.
You know, those people don't come within 30 feet of each other. You get within 6 feet, that's like sex to them. Yeah.
That's when you put some salt in the shotgun and get them off your property.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what. I was going to say, you know, talking about things that this is actually a good thing. Then you would think that, you know, people are forced to slow down and be together with their family and have, you know, this be a more intimate time than it normally would. And but it is funny. You're right, Larry. You know, the things that people are doing now that Laura was just telling me about someone we know, a parent at our kid's school who posted something on Instagram. It was a video of her cat drinking water from a bowl in super slow-mo. This is a busy woman, you know? She's got a career and everything. Only now do we slow down to the point where grown adults are doing stuff that a 10-year-old would do.
That also points out the downside of this pandemic is a whole lot more people have a little more time to try social media for the first time, and they're starting from ground zero. And given the stuff we were all looking at 5-10 years ago, it's like, hey, look at this funny thing my cat does, and it's, you know, sideways, and it's, you can't make the figure out at all. And,
it's also figuring out, since we're forced to spend time with each other, it's also now a game of to be like, well, I got to do something with my kid for the next 8 hours. I need to find 8 different things that won't make me insane, because I also don't want to I don't want to color Spider-Man pictures all day. You know what I mean? So it's got to be like, I need to figure out how to not be insane.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's got to be engaging for both of you. Otherwise, you're going to be nuts.
What are some things that you guys are doing, maybe not for the first time, but doing more than you ever have now that we're in quarantine to while the time away? What can you think of some things that you're
laundry? I did so much. Like I washed the clothes that I wore yesterday, just because I'm like, what the hell else is there to do? Let's do more laundry. This place is spotless. I find myself cleaning shit that I didn't. That it's just like, why am I even cleaning this? Why am I cleaning underneath the subwoofer of my TV? I don't know. What the hell, why not? I got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I just remembered a dream I had last night. You remember what I was telling you a couple weeks ago? About I was, you know, the vocal booth that I have with, it was the blankets, and there was a blanket on top, and I took it down and washed it because there was, you know, dust on it. I dreamed last night that I found another blanket like that up on top of something that was just covered in dust that I washed it. Wow. I'm dreaming about cleaning shit. That's bizarre. What about you, Larry?
I can honestly say that I am still in that mode where for some reason I am busier now than I would be on any other normal workday. So it's wire to wire when I get up because of the way we're having to operate. I'm kind of the go-to guy for checking stuff, on the back end and making sure that that things are running properly. And we're operating so differently than we normally do. And if anything, I'm doing stuff I would normally do much less. I'm not getting as much exercise, which is really bugging me.
Yep.
It is getting in as many steps in as I normally do. I think maybe the only little plus I'm giving myself is that I am perfecting the art of the 2:30 p.m. nap.
Oh, yeah.
I am a master at that thing. I mean, a good 40 minutes and I am refreshed and I can kind of start the rest of the day. Otherwise, I'm watching Sharla do all the work. I'm working all day long, but it's normally at a laptop or in front of a microphone.
Yep.
And Sharla's like out on the back 40, you know, plowing the fields and breaking down boxes. And I feel certainly much less of a man.
Yeah, I'm crazy busier than what if I was at the office. And it's like, once that day ends, I come walking downstairs and it's like, I need to take a break from sitting at my other desk to go sit on my couch because my brain is just fried. And then that's when let's go play hockey. Let's go do this, go do this. That's when that hits. I'm just like,
I'm the same way. I'm now, okay. So, you know, I'm working from home and at 88.5, you know, I'm also a music director. So there's stuff that I need to do in the computer system, right? In Inco, and I need to get in there and do it. But Nick Harcourt is also broadcasting from home, doing the morning show from there. he and Jet. So I have to get up at 4:45 in the morning.
What?
So that I can only one person can access at a time. So I have to get up at 4:45 in the morning to get in there and do the things I need to do in the morning, then get back in there after they're done. And then I've, you know, got other chores, other consulting stuff I've been doing, you know, in the time besides that. Yeah, it's ridiculous how busy I am now that I'm home and don't have to commute.
Do you tell the family, like, hey, when this sheet is closed, you do not bother daddy.
They know. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Yeah. Lara was texting me the other day where I was, you know, trying to broadcast. are you kidding me? What also was weird is the other day, this has never happened to me in 30 plus years of radio, Larry, you know, broadcasting from here at home in North Hollywood and, to the world, that in itself is weird.
It's so odd. Yeah.
But beyond that, in between, breaks, I get up and I go into the house, you know, walk into the house, which I've never done before. That's already an out of body kind of thing. I go in there. And get a cup of coffee. And as I step back out on the porch, I see that the cat has brought a trophy, killed a baby possum, and left it on the porch. And of course, I got to get rid of that before the kids see it, right? So stop
there.
Scoop that up with a.
They got to learn someday.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
So that was a weird kind of thing.
And then go back and be on the radio.
And then go back and be on the radio. Yeah. Yeah.
That actually reminds me of one of my favorite radio stories. It was in Odessa, Texas, and this was classic AM top 40 radio. It was that radio station that's been built in an old house just on the outskirts of the city limits. So it was in a big old frickin' field, and you had the, you know, the old AM towers in the back of the property so that you could, you know, you had to go out and check on the lights at night and check it off on the engineering sheet so that the red light was still working at the top. And one night I get off the air at midnight, and my buddy Mark Allen, who is now a big TV personality in Sacramento, he came on for the overnight shift back when people were actually on in the middle of the night. And I walk toward the front door, which is like the lobby of the little radio station with a glass, you know, front door. And I was about to unlock it, and there was a possum right in front of the glass door, right in front of me, except he was breathing weird.
I'm out.
This weird ooze coming out of his mouth. And this tells you what kind of fire trap
this is. Mark Allen or the possum?
No, this is the possum. Mark had actually stopped his drooling problem by that time. It shows you the kind of fire trap this place was. There really was no back way to get out at that point. God. But I watched this thing, and I'm like, I'm no vet, but I'm pretty sure that's a rabid possum. It does not look healthy, and it does not look happy. So at 12:15, I'm calling the local county animal control, and I'm standing there watching it. And sure enough, just a little while later, a truck comes up, pulls up in front on the dirt parking lot. A body hops out in the kind of uniform of animal control, takes a long stick out of the back of their truck with, you know, one of those adjustable, you know, neck collars on
it. Right, sure.
As she gets closer, we realize, and I'm looking back into the studio, which is right off the lobby. There's a window, and Mark is on the air doing his thing. And I say, oh, look, somebody's here. And he looks out, and this, like, Playboy bunny style blonde in the uniform of an animal control person comes into view.
Was this a singing telegram?
She is stunning. She takes that long pole, wraps it right around slowly around the possum's neck, tightens it a little bit, picks it up off its feet, turns around, looks back at us with this coquettish grin, and goes, see ya, and waves and puts the thing in the truck and drives off. And Mark and I'm standing there still stunned, and Mark Allen comes out of the studio and goes, was that the most gorgeous woman you've ever seen in your life that just dragged away a rabid possum on a long stick? And I said, thank God you saw it too.
At 1 a.m.
And we still talk about that to this day. It was the most bizarre moment. And I was, And I didn't have any inclination to go out and talk to her because she had a rabid possum on the end of a stick. Anyway, that's a good
one. Hold on. Hold on. Where is it?
I had to find it. Rabid possum on the end of a stick? Oh, boy. If I had a nickel, huh?
I'll tell you something I just
made myself spit up on myself.
Heavens. One thing that I have been doing lately, more as a family, we've been doing more lately, is gardening. And it's been really enjoyable to do. You know, we put the garden out a week or so ago, and then you know, we're starting stuff on the windowsill in the kitchen. So it's neat. The kids get to see, you know, the tiny little kale plant, this tiny, teeny, tiny, almost like grass, you know, size shoot that's coming up. And it's like, can you believe that? You remember how big kale plants get and, you know, the huge leaves? And to show that to, you know, Vivian and Silas, and it's amazing. You know,
that's
fun.
That's pretty cool. That's the kind of thing I hope you guys stick with, and maybe it will stay with them to the point where they want to continue to do that.
Yeah, it's been great. One thing, this ties into wildlife again as well. We have a raccoon that likes to come around and steal food from the cats outside, and then also digs in the raised boxes for grubs. Yeah. Gets down in there and like just tears the living shit out of the plants and everything to get to these nasty worms underneath the surface. Oh, it's killing me. Yes.
What do you do? What are you gonna do?
I don't want to say because you're gonna make fun of me.
I got an idea, but you go ahead.
I bought some beneficial nematodes.
Okay. Well, on that note.
Oh boy.
Nematodes.
Should I just no.
Ring the bell?
Hold on. Nematodes? Hey, is this going to be one of those segments where it's okay for me to walk away for 15 minutes and
I've got three of those this week.
This sounds like a new Jim Henson show. The beneficial nematodes.
Right, like Fraggle Rock.
Who could have possibly done this amazing? Why, it was the beneficial nematodes. Who are they? They live underground in secret cave.
Will it be enough to show me my guitar solo?
That was sensational, Larry.
I'm trying to make this entertaining as possible before you launch into your monologue.
I think the beneficial nematode sounds like an all-male singing group. Hello, 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 hello.
Like barbershop? Yeah, exactly.
The beneficial nematodes. They're microscopic little like worm guys. I guess you can't see them unless you have a microscope. But you take them and you put them in water, and then you spray that over your garden and
sea monkeys
water it down. Then they go down and they eat all that shit. They eat all the larvae that they find in the soil, and it's astounding. It's amazing the shit.
So do you think the raccoon comes back and goes, "Damn it"? Beneficial nematodes again.
I've been foiled again. Yes, I think so. But it's
you know, I was gonna say,
what?
Nerf
it?
Yeah, get a Nerf gun. Plunk them a few times with some Nerf darts.
Oh, trust me, I threw some little tiny lava rocks at him when I saw him out there one day.
Yeah, I was going to say, get one of those big $100 Nerf guns and just go Rambo on his ass.
But yeah,
that's a skunk last night.
You did?
Yeah. Big old. Nope. Just, we are, going to immediately remove. We've had several critters come and check out the bird seed that falls from the bird feeder that Charlotte put out to attract birds that has attracted a grand total of zero birds. but the deer have come and eat it. We have had raccoons, big old large critters come through. And last night I look over as we're watching, season 3 of Ozark, which is quite good. And, I see a big old stripy tail. It might as well have been a Pepe Le Pew cartoon. It was so prominent and obvious. And I poked Charlotte and said, "Don't move." But I think there's a skunk right outside on our patio, and it stayed there for a long. I even had to text Alex and say, "Don't come out of your your room.
Exactly.
And don't be banging around and making a lot of noise. And if we can get through this without our house getting sprayed.
And then, you know, if you get sprayed, you go to the store, they wouldn't have any tomato juice. The shelves are bare of that crap. I wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it stayed there for a long time, too. I thought we had a new family pet.
You know, Tuxie got sprayed once. Our black cat got sprayed in our backyard by a skunk once.
Yeah. Both our dogs did. It was miserable.
Oh, yeah. God, it was awful. Just
What did you do to clean her?
I got the tomato juice, tried that. And then I got some shampoo that's supposed to be, you know, specifically for you know, skunking and de-skunking.
Did you have to wear like chain mail when you wash a cat?
I guess I wore gloves when I did it. I don't remember. I blocked a lot of it out of my memory. Here's what I remember.
Scratchy thing to do.
And I remember going to get a one of those cardboard cat carriers, pet carriers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They fold together. Yeah. You know, it's the variegated cardboard or corrugated cardboard, I guess. And I put Tuxie in there. And I found a vet that agreed to wash him.
Okay.
It was over in Van Nuys.
Yeah,
it was over in Van Nuys, and I had to put him in the carrier, put him in the back of Lara's car, which was brand new at that time, right? It was a brand new Prius V. It just had it for a month. And I look back in the back, and I see him trying to claw his way out of it, Jack Nicholson style, to get the fuck out of that box. And I'm like, oh my God, what happens here? If he gets out of that box, then we're fucked, right? I mean,
burn the car.
He's gonna smear his that scent all over everything, and this car is done. And so I pull over to the side of the road, driving up like Sherman Way, and you know, in the middle of summer. And I had the other plastic carrier, his real carrier. I got the cardboard one because I didn't want him to stink up the one I was going to bring him home in. And so I'm like, well, you know, fuck it. I got to switch him over. Now, you should have seen me on the side of the road of Sherman Way in Van Nuys with one cat clawing his way out of this brown cardboard carrier. And it was like gorillas in the mist. It was really... I'm sure it was a spectacle for anybody on the side of the road seeing me have his cat carrier on its side, trying to dump him down in it and shake him out of this other box. It looked like any sensible law enforcement officer would arrest me for whatever I was trying to do. But that was
ordinary. You don't even know what crime you're
right.
committing, yeah. But we're going to arrest you for something.
It was bestial or cruelty or something. There's no telling from a distance. Anyway, yeah, that's always a real hoot to go through something like that. But he keeps coming back. Somebody told me that if you put a radio, like a transistor radio, and you turn that on in the backyard and keep it going all night, that the human voices will keep them away.
A loop of Neil Young guitar solos?
Fuck you.
Call PETA. You know, they were not allowed to do that. I heard a podcast one time of a guy that had a peach tree in his backyard, and it was somewhere open, so it was like, you know, maybe like 50 yards away from the house, but they had this peach tree, and he said like him and his wife would wait for these peaches to get ripe every year, and it was like the highlight of the year because they would make like peach pies and peach jams and everything. And he said the time he went out, and there was just all these peaches half eaten all over the ground, and they found out that a bear was coming out and eating the peaches. So he got a like a wireless speaker and a an old iPod, and this guy was a podcaster. He put the loop of like all of his podcasts on the speaker, and then ran plugged it in and ran it back to the house so it would never run out of battery. Uh-huh. None of the bears came back, so he has a loop of his podcast playing on this tree like 24/7, and no bears come.
If anybody wants to use this podcast to scare away wildlife,
feel free.
Feel you have our blessing to do that.
Yeah, and you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. What's funny is I put on this conservative talk AM station, and that kept him away the first couple of days. But then I couldn't. It was the old. You remember that old transistor, blue transistor, 100.3, the sound radio, Larry?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You guys, I had one of those, and the tuning knob was broken. Like it wouldn't tune it, so I had to take it apart to change the channel to get it, because it detuned. So I had to, like, you know, fine tune it, and I couldn't find that station back. And it ended up being a Spanish talk station, right. A Hispanic talk station. So they, I don't know why they weren't afraid of that. And they kept coming around after that. But yeah, the conservative talk kept them away for a couple of nights. That's pretty great. Hey, another thing I wanted to update you on, Larry and Josh, and everyone. I know that this is something that everyone has been thinking about during these what's the phrase?
These trying times.
These unprecedented times. God, I hate that. It goes 9 miles up my ass. During these unprecedented times.
Yeah.
Well, it's something having to do with Asia. It's the Hong Kong dongle.
Oh no, we're back to that.
I have an update on Hong Kong dongle. You know, the Hong Kong dongle, which was supposed to connect my new computer with my old audio interface. I couldn't do it anymore.
I feel like the Hong Kong dongle should get its theme song. Like, are you going to do the Hong Kong dongle song?
Well, we did Hong Kong. Yeah, we did Hong Kong Phooey before, right? Hong Kong dongle, number one dongle guy. The Hong Kong dongle didn't work, and we sent that back famously. And a lot of you have reached out with notes of sympathy on that, and thank you.
Dongle sympathy.
I found
ring the bell. Yeah,
I found a China dongle.
Ooh,
they're sending me a China dongle. A China dongle that will connect. I mean,
that's what Trump calls it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no bat at a wet market, but it's it's something I certainly will wipe down once it gets here. But there's a China dongle on its way to me. I will keep you updated when it arrives, if I'm able to dongle things. So that's the great thing. And maybe, Larry, you can appreciate this. I know Josh, you know, beats on his computer like a Zoolander with a bone. So he can't. But...
Ow, that's a reference. Okay.
The time. Thus spake Zarathustra playing in the background. Yeah.
Yes. We got it.
The one good thing about all this is I'm solving little technological riddles like several times a week, like figuring out little things that have vexed me for months. And I'm like, oh, that works now. I can make that happen. This is great. I figured out my computer wouldn't wake up the TV that I brought in here to be the monitor, the new monitor.
Right. You fixed it?
I figured it out.
What was the problem?
Here's what the thing is. The computer goes to sleep, and then once the computer's asleep, you know, you can awake that by, you know, tapping your keyboard, but then that doesn't automatically wake up the TV down the HDMI cord. So what I've had to do is turn on the TV and then press the little power button on the computer and then tap the keyboard and then hit the power button again and then tap the keyboard and finally it appears and erase all those things and put in my entry code to, you know, password to open up the computer. It takes, you know, 30 seconds to start up the computer every time.
I'm exhausted just listening to
that. I know. And anyway, I found if you turn the computer to never go to sleep and set a screensaver with a hot corner where if you move your cursor over into the corner, it automatically turns on the screensaver. Then you turn the screensaver on when you walk away. And then when you come back, you just tap a keyboard and there it is.
Wow.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It's pretty great. So we got a China dongle coming and I got my hot corner and things are looking up.
Yeah, I do. I can relate to the fact that I'm solving all sorts of technological issues that are well above my typical intellectual capacity and just figuring things out, especially with this whole remote broadcasting thing, to the point where people are calling me and asking me questions. And it's very hard for me to sound like I know what I'm talking about, because most of the time I can't remember how I fixed the thing that I fixed. But I'm like, were you getting this glitch? And I go, yeah. What the hell did I do to fix that? Because I am not, I mean, I'm like I said before, I try to keep up on as much as I can, but I'm not an engineer or an IT guy or whatever. But I actually dug in the back end of some of this voice tracking software and solved some things that even the IT guys didn't know about or forgot about. And I'm telling all the other, you know, jocks who are using it about it. And I have no authority to be doing that whatsoever, but you do what you got to do in these trying times,
these uncertain times.
It's
unprecedented times.
Unprecedented, like, uncertain, trying times.
My computer is wheezing so bad I think it needs a face mask. it sounds like a microwave every once in a while when the fan starts going. It's just like,
well, here's the thing, here's the good news. Want to hear the good news?
Tell me the good news.
You have to have. Let's see. I'm going to guess you got like $2,900 coming into your bank account this week.
Yeah, but I can't go out and get a computer.
You could order one.
Yeah.
You
know what? I don't know how I feel about that money. Honestly, it's not. We're not in a bad place right now, so I'm not sure if our family deserves that.
Well, then just send it over to me.
Well, I mean, I would need you to donate it to something else.
Not, well, here's what you could do. Here's what I'm getting at. You could take like $900 of that money, go on Apple.com into the refurbish section, buy yourself a brand spanking new computer that would let you join the 20th century. And podcast with the two of us.
Every time you want to talk to us on the podcast.
Lego.
If you change your mind, I'm going to send you some links. Right. I'm going to send you some pictures of some computer porn to look at. Yeah.
It sounds like Andy's to the point where he could probably just build you one from scratch.
I'll take my dongle free.
I'm going to build it out of dongles.
You're going to mail me a big ball of dongles, keyboard.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys, with people are listening to this, on Thursday after Easter, but for us, tomorrow is Easter, and also it's Passover, so Chag Sameach. Are you guys planning a wonderful meal for Easter?
No.
Nope.
Nothing?
That's never been... In my family, for some reason, I think maybe when I was growing up in Texas, it usually meant, you know, as a kid, Easter egg hunt, and there might have been a ham, and definitely had to go to a church. But it wasn't like a big deal. It seemed to be over with by lunchtime, and nobody really.
Yeah.
You didn't have an Easter egg hunt or anything?
Well, I mean, maybe did something in the yard when we were little. Yeah. Backyard.
You know how I feel about pastels. You know how I feel about the Easter holiday. It's on the bottom of all the holidays. It's whatever.
You know, it's funny. My dad wasn't the most sentimental guy you could think of. He was picture a mixture between Archie Bunker and Wilford Brimley, and that was my dad. But I can remember. I think I was 12 when he come home from church and he'd still be hiding eggs. I mean, to find in the backyard.
It did kind of feel like half Halloween for a while. It was like, because there was candy involved, although it was a little more specific, in the jelly bean /
If Halloween is Coke, then Easter is Tab.
Yeah. But then there was a point as we got older where the eggs started having actual U.S. currency in them.
Yeah.
Made it a little more enticing, and then we were really swift. And I was, pushing my little sister out of the way. It got ugly. I think that's maybe one of the reasons why we stopped doing it.
I remember going out there, and it'd be like finding Easter eggs in patches of snow and trekking through mud and just being like, this is stupid. I'm doing all this for one of those stupid marshmallow peat things that tastes like ass anyway. What am I doing?
We actually, this just happens to be one of those years where Easter falls on our anniversary. So
happy anniversary. How many years?
33.
Wow.
What is the 33rd anniversary? What's the, let me see if I can look up here.
There's
something.
It's a bottle rolling rock.
There's totally something for that. Let's see. 33rd and, whoops, not 333rd, 33rd anniversary.
Amethyst.
Gift.
Amethyst.
You looked it up?
Mm-hmm.
Amethyst, you're right.
Wisdom stone.
Amethyst is beautiful. It's that purple stone inside of geodes. Yeah, well, almost all geodes are amethyst inside.
That's quite lovely, actually.
Yeah. Do you know where the name amethyst means?
Oh, boy.
Jesus.
What does it mean,
Andy?
I'm not exactly I'm not going to get this.
Oh,
exactly
good. Right. Well, then, thank God you brought it up. Do you guys know what so-and-so means? I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I'm just kind of pulling this out of my ass.
Just gonna bang
about it. I'm not sure if this is in any way accurate, but go ahead.
I think you guys are really awful to me. Like the, you can imagine like M-E-T-H-Y.
Hey, Andy, what does amethyst maybe mean?
Maybe means I'm driving over there and kicking your ass.
No, that would be very irresponsible.
I'll wear a mask.
And gloves.
The methy part of it is like alcohol. It's from the same root as you know, like methyl alcohol. Right. Alcohol. And, you know, A at the beginning of something means not. So it's like not alcoholic. They used to, like hundreds of years ago, royalty thought that the amethyst held special properties. Like if you drank like wine out of an amethyst goblet, you would not get drunk.
Ah,
that's a true story.
I see that actually in checking Andy's work, that is correct. It's a reference to the belief that the stone protected its owner from drunkenness.
Yeah, I should try that.
So it sounds like the worst stone ever.
Because I'm under more risk for that than ever these days.
Yeah, that's another thing that probably a lot of people are developing around this time is a skill for alcoholism. So,
oh, God. I'm telling you.
Watch once this is all said and done, the cirrhosis levels just go skyrocket.
My old-fashioned making skills are
finally
on point.
Yes,
on point. I'm doing so well with it. I mean, I can make anything at this point. It's crazy. I'm loving it.
We are still a dry household at this point, and I am starting to crave. I can't watch a show where somebody has a drink. We watched Ozark last night, and two characters poured a glass of brown liquor of some kind. I'm going to assume it was a nice bourbon. And just watching them savor it made me so horny. It was, wow, I just couldn't believe it.
I think you need to maybe just go out, get yourself a big old fat stogie, nice bottle of scotch, and then just soak it. Just try it. Just get that craving taken care of.
Well, thank you, Josh the Enabler. That's
awesome. Well, if there's any time in the world where somebody needs a stogie and some scotch, I think right now is the time.
Yeah,
and that's how it starts.
Well, maybe on my amethyst anniversary, if you have any around.
Drink it out of amethyst and you'll be fine.
That'd
be
good. You're good.
That science sounds pretty sound. I think we're good.
I'll tell you what, though, guys, I am trying some other, you know, Laura went and shopped for our Easter feast, did it yesterday. She went to Whole Foods, and she spent almost $500 on food next week.
What the hell are you making for
Easter feast? She bought food for the week and was there and would prefer not to have to make extra trips out. So,
no, but what does a non-meat eater have for Easter feast, though?
Veuve Clicquot.
Okay. Never heard of it.
She brought a bottle of you know, decent champagne for us to have. But we have tofurkeys, which aren't, you know, exactly cheap. Those roasts and
or flavorful. So
no,
thank goodness you're not getting a lot for your money.
They're better than you think. But just bought, you know,
I know you have to say that.
Enough food to last. You know what? I need to fix you up a batch of it. You'll actually enjoy it sometime.
Nope.
But I tried something else that was new this morning for breakfast. You know, I'm a master of breakfast cooking. And I made pancakes that I'm told were the best pancakes my family has ever had.
Oh, ooh. Nice.
Miniature chocolate chips in them.
Aren't all chocolate chips miniature?
No.
Not the really tiny ones.
These are smaller.
Yeah, these are very tiny. Like, you know, imagine a normal chocolate chip that's what, like a third of an inch across?
I don't know. I never measured a chocolate chip before.
I'm just trying to eyeball it. But, you know, they're like the size of a pea, right? They're
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
These are like, you know, just a third of that width. You know, very, very small.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I made some chocolate chip pancakes out of that. The kids, you know, we've been playing so many. I played so many fucking games of Sorry and Old Maid.
You need to get better games.
I'm telling you, I played so many of these games. But what we'll do if I try to, I'm trying to keep the kids, you know, engaged and occupied. I'll say, okay, best two out of three, you know, and then best three out of five, and then sometimes I have to sweeten it when I see them fading a little bit, and I've come up with a gift. All right, whoever wins the most of nine games wins the championship. And they're like, ooh. What's the championship? I'm like, no, not the championship, the champion chip. It's a tiny chocolate chip that I put on a plate, and it's out there. Whoever wins gets that champion chip.
Oh, man. Are your kids that gullible? Are they that bad?
Well, they're just horny for any kind of chocolate or
when we play hockey in the garage, whoever wins gets to raise the Stanley Cup, which is just an old coffee can.
Well done.
Oh, yeah. We need to have some sort of award ceremony for our board game nights. That's I got to figure that out. I made, speaking of breakfast, I actually made turkey chili this week. That's kind of a go-to for me. It turned out great. Had some leftovers, as usual, because it makes a huge batch. And I had myself a little reheated chili, which is always great the next day, even better. And just cracked an egg over the top of that, slopped that on a plate, ate that over easy, just mixed in to the yolk with all that tasty chili.
Oh, that sounds so good.
That was some good stuff, man.
Hey,
that would go great with some scotch and a stogie.
Yep. 7:30 in the morning, that's the perfect way to get a day going. Thank you, Josh. I'll remember that.
Hey, fellas, we got a phone number here that people can call if they want to.
What?
It's 626-657-6428. It's known as the YAF line. And there's a mnemonic device to remember it. It's O, Amok, PM.
Amok.
I wonder if anyone has used that mnemonic device to dial it.
I don't know.
I guarantee they haven't.
If you have, call and let us know.
Anyway, you can call us with anything that's going on, things that you're doing that you are finding help you while away the hours as we're all in quarantine, anything like that. Please let us know and share them on the YAF line. We got one call. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
All right. Well, before I play it for you, I have to play you this.
This. Low energy mighty heart.
All right, here we go. You guys ready?
Yep.
Hey, Yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. This is last week's call that didn't go through.
Aw.
This week has been fairly slow. Monday and Tuesday were snow days, so I distanced socially in the shop, mostly just puttering around. Wednesday was trying to clean out a rain drain with the jetter. A jitter is kind of like a pressure washer for pipes. Ooh. Trying to hit off questions here. I can't remember what the hell I did on Thursday. Friday was a frost-free hydrant replacement. And then digging for a sewer and water for a new house being built on a lot where there had been a single-wide mobile home previously. Lines were. So I tore the hell out of that lot finding those pipes. In between those jobs, I made a short Gaffcraft video. It's posted on my Instagram. It was a pretty good day for a ditch digging man.
Yes.
Talk to you later.
So that was last week's message that we didn't hear.
And all was well again.
Yeah, that's right. Hold, please.
That was low energy, Mike. That was low energy, Mike.
It's not a call from Low Energy Mike without the theme song. Hey, thank you again to Alex for that. Those are sublime.
Yep. Awesome.
Oh no, I'm so glad that worked out. He had so much fun making those.
And again, that number 626-657-6428 or amuck PM hat. And he was alluding to some Yaff crap there. You can go to yaffcrap.com and find your Yaff crap if you so desire. What was it he said there that made me think about something? He said he didn't remember what he did on Thursday. You guys have that going on where you forget what day it is?
Oh, hell yeah.
No, I don't forget what day it is. It just all feels like one big day until the weekend.
Well, I get a little confused because I'm always working ahead on other days, like finishing logs for music and working ahead a couple of days. So I have to kind of remind myself. This is the first time right now as we record this where I have a weekend where I am going to have to, as soon as we end this, I'm actually going to be working on my show for tonight on K-Earth. But it's the first weekend I don't have like a big list of stuff that I got to do before Monday. I can actually treat this like a weekend for the first time since all this happened, and I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with myself.
Yeah.
Probably it's been that nap thing I told you about.
Oh, yeah. It's about time for your nap.
Well, we're getting there.
Hey, you know what's weird is I have a doctor's appointment on Monday, but I'm doing it through a telephone FaceTime. Like, how is that gonna work?
Well, on your internet, it's gonna work like shit.
Yeah, but I mean, do I like hold my camera up to my ass? So you look.
I want you to please. I don't know. Do we want him to record or not record the prostate exam, the self exam?
I mean, how is this?
Maybe just the audio.
Hey,
is it gonna be like make me lift up my shirt, and I'm gonna be like taking stuff, like showing my. What do I do?
Do you still have
accomplish?
Josh, do you know that personal scratcher or back rubber that we had at 100.3 The Sound?
Yeah, the one that I stole from one of my bosses.
It curls in the shape of a J with a little knob on the end.
Yep.
I bet if you tried, you could bend over and shove that up your ass.
Do it. Look like the Wicked Witch of the West riding the broom.
We definitely have content for next week then, because I want to know what the hell that was like doing a FaceTime.
He's like, I need prescriptions refilled, so I wrote to him, and then he wrote back. He's like, yeah, sure, and he filled him back up. Then he's like, you need we haven't had an appointment in a while, and I'm like, okay, what the hell does that mean? And he's like, we can either do it on conference call or video call, and I just said. Video call, and then when all was said and done, I was like, well, what the hell is this going to accomplish? We're just going to stare at each other and talk? Yeah. I mean,
he just needs to charge your insurance something. That's all. he just needs to get something.
That's fine.
It's going to be like, yeah, you look pretty good from here. Well, Josh, see you in 6 months. God willing.
He's going to like make me put my tongue out to the camera and go, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, it's not like you're doing a blood workup or anything, right?
No, it's just like a physical, but like what?
Physical with absolutely no physical examination. That's
zero physical.
Yeah, he's gonna be like, all right, stick your finger up your ass, tell me you feel anything.
Emotionally or physically? Let's put a pin in that for the week and come back to that.
So Josh, tell me, do you notice any lumps or any growths, or do you like it? How much do you like? On a scale of 1 to 10, move it around a little bit.
What was your relationship with your father?
Now put your pinky in your mouth and do it.
Oh, that was unnecessary. Hey, speaking of that though, this morning Viv, 5-year-old daughter Viv, came up with just stream of consciousness, threw out an idea at the breakfast table. said, I wish I had edible Band-Aids. And a light went off in my head. Do you think there's a market for edible Band-Aids?
My immediate response would be, gross. No. I mean, something that has touched a wound.
They sell one sausage.
Yeah. I guess if you're ingesting your own. Problem. Yeah. Why am I even thinking about this? No, Andy. No.
Nope.
The definitive answer would be no, absolutely not.
There is none. Well, here's, I got bad news. I can't find my pick.
Oh no. No solo.
Did it fall down your hole?
I don't know. I'm just going to have to just strum.
Yeah, you can strum a leisurely strum.
Oh, that's actually quite nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Larry. What? No. Hey, Larry, how can people get a hold of you this week if they want to?
I'd prefer not.
Drive to your house in Cambria.
Yeah. Let's just give me a week off. No, yeah, on the Instagram, I am the Larry Morgan. That's the Larry Morgan. Nowhere near as interesting as Low Energy Mike's account, but I got some stuff going up there.
Are there other Larry Morgans that you have to fend off?
Apparently.
All right. Josh?
JoshuaJFlinger@gmail.com.
Yeah, send him a picture of your prostate exam.
Of your self-exam. Show him your best technique.
Send him a picture of something sticking out of your ass.
You know what?
Also,
you know
something what? We'll need to report on next week.
Normally, I would, but this time I'm kind of curious to see what people would say.
So of course, you are.
Well, there you go. He's asking for it. He's practically begging for it.
Yeah.
Happy how about you, Andy?
For me,
how about
it's,
you, Andy?
For
Andy.
Me, it's,
how about you?
Andy_Chanley on Twitter or on Instagram. It is Andy Chanley. And on Facebook, it's DJ Andy Chanley.
I thought you had fours, just three.
Just three.
Okay, good.
What? Yeah. What's your Friendster address?
my Grindr account.
Yes. Up on MySpace.
My Tinder account.
Your Bumble. All right.
Let's go. Thumb it.
People that you know don't like you. And your treasure friendships in.
This is a long train.
Into the podcast. Where you're official friends. And the delay just makes it so enjoyable.
Yeah. Sounded like a beneficial nematodes. What the hell was that again?
Bye, everybody. Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Bye.